My name's Kathy Caton, and this is Out in Brighton, with the city's guide to all things lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans and queer. And we're broadcasting from the heart of Brighton, down at the Radio Reverb Studios, down in the open market. You can catch Out in Brighton live on Tuesdays 5 till 6pm, repeated at 10pm, Wednesdays at 8am and Saturday from 11 till 12 midday too. And this programme is also an award-winning podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Mixcloud or on Podomatic, where it's the number one LGBTQ podcast. Enough of this bragging and prattling on. Let's get on with what's coming up over the next hour. Pride comes to Worthing for the first time. We'll be joined by the host of the inaugural Worthing Pride, the gender discombobulator, scene regular and radio personality no less, Spice. Jo Jepson Davis, the blogger and creator of the Ex-Hetero blog, will be in and also ask a bit about her career as a stage manager for people as diverse and brilliant as Kate Blanchett, no less. Brighton Pride go rightly on the front foot after turf intervention at London Pride. And remembering Arthur Law with Gary Pargeter and Kate Wildblood. That's coming up in the next hour. You're on Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're across the city on DAB+, and we're online worldwide at radioreverb.com or the TuneIn Radio app.
Where did you go?
Zuga and Jerry kicking us off on today's Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. And we're bringing you queer radio for Brighton and beyond. Joining me now, such a familiar, makes it sound as if you're old and hackneyed, which you're not, but a very, very familiar voice to regular listeners of Radio Reverb is the award-winning gender discombobulator, scene stalwart, and soon to be host of Worthing's First Pride, Manikin Spice.
Hello. That's quite the CV, isn't it?
It is. Well, I need to tack a new thing on each time. It's like one of those memory games about what's in the tray when you go into the room. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make you the official spokesperson of Worthing Pride, but as the official spokesperson of Worthing
don't,
Pride...
I'll get it all wrong, don't.
So you're going to be hosting, you're the person at the helm.
I am, yes. So the sort of main Pride party, if you like, the big sort of event, there's going to be food stalls and things going on like that, but there is a main stage there as well, and I get to be in charge of that, really, and just get acts and throw them onto the stage, and then when they're finished, throw on the next one, and I'm going to be there for 9 hours in I'm so excited.
Are you a member of a union?
I know. There isn't one for drag queens, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm going to be there for 9 hours. That's a long old day. It starts at 12:30 and it's running right the way through until sort of 9:30, 10-ish in the evening. So yeah, long day.
And so this is going to be the first time that that Worthing's had a Pride. How do you feel about that? And what do you think the good people of Worthing are going to feel about it?
Yeah, we're making history with this year. It's excellent, actually, because I think that living in Brighton or Hove, actually, we're in this bubble. We're in this nice, cosy little bubble. And I'm not saying that, you know, incidents don't happen and things like that, but there's a support network, there's a community, and it's all very lovely. And then you step out and you go 15 minutes down the road, which Worthing is, you know, 15 minutes down the road in any direction, and you start to realise that actually not everywhere is quite like that. There are no LGBT, as far as I'm aware, there are no LGBTQ venues in Worthing anymore. There were, they've all closed down, so as far as I'm aware, there isn't one there now. So for people living in Worthing, the guys that organised this just wanted to come out and say, right, we want to do this for our friends in the LGBTQ community in Worthing, and hopefully a lot of people from Brighton will go along and show their support as well. So it's one of those things, I think we forget what Pride's about sometimes, but for places like Worthing that don't have one, it's a big deal for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting, we just had London Pride, about which there's been a fair amount of hoo-ha around. And,
yes.
And because it's just so much also at the other end of the scale, where actually the majority of people who are parading rather than marching are from businesses, not necessarily from community organisations or local people, in fact. Just wanted to get your thoughts.
I think the parade for Worthing is going to be an interesting one. They're having no floats. No floats in that parade at all.
So everyone walking?
It's marching only, yeah. It's a marching only parade. Everyone's welcome to join in as well. So unlike the Brighton parade, if you like, where people are required to register, I think everyone can just turn up and just join in. The theme is going to be bold, bright and colourful. So be all of those things and turn up. It's leaving from the Burlington Hotel. Now, if you live in Worthing, I assume you'll know where that is. Because I don't. I've got no idea. But I'm assuming you'll know where that is. And that's heading down to the main event, which is the Beach House Grand for the main event, which, again, Beach House Grounds, sorry. And, and I don't know where that is either. But we'll find out at the weekend. It'll be fabulous.
Excellent. And in terms of, yes, when people need to pitch up, where they need to be in their finery and glad rags?
Yeah, it depends which bit you want to join in from, really. The parade leaves at 1, so...
The whole 9 hours,
the
surely.
The whole thing. Okay, so, the parade leaves at 1, and the park also opens at 1. So I think if you're doing the parade, you're not going to miss a great deal of the park. So do the parade first, do go along to that. And then the park, as I say, opens at 1 as well. But there is other stuff going on as well. You've got the dog show, that's at 11 a.m.
Will the Elfie be entering?
My lovely little, no, she won't be. There are various categories and judging things like that, but there isn't a category for just laying on your back with your legs in the air and your breeze blowing over your face, which is all she's done, bless her, for the last week because it's just been so hot.
Along with the rest of us.
So no, she won't be there for that. But that starts at 11 a.m. That's at Denton Gardens. So you can go along to that. And there is also children's entertainment in Denton Gardens, which is going from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. So it's a big family event. As well. So there's all sorts of different things. But go to worthingpride.co.uk and the facts will be there, and they will be correct as well. Because I can't guarantee any of my facts are correct. But they'll be there.
And I think as well that for many people who may possibly say that they find Brighton Pride too big for various reasons, actually you can just get on the bus down the road and go and show some solidarity and visibility as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Brighton Pride's getting bigger every year, it's enormous, and the amount of people who say, "Oh, I'm not going, don't like crowds, too many people, blah blah blah," I think this will be a nice little sort of antidote to that. Really, they're expecting up to 3,000 people, so it's going to be big enough that we can all have fun and have a great day, but it's not going to be this overwhelming sort of sea of people everywhere you go. And if you want to get out of it, then you can do, and you can sort of dip in and out and things like that. So I think that's going to be it's going to be very telling actually to see how many people go from Brighton to support Worthing that maybe aren't necessarily going to go to the Brighton one. But we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope that people do. And I also hope that it just brings something fantastic for Worthing as well. So we're just going to the details of the how, what, where, when.
How, what, where, when. OK, so it's this weekend. Everything is on worthingpride.co.uk. That's probably a best bet. If you are on social media, then search for Worthing Pride on there as well. The hashtag is WorthingPride18. I believe, so if you search for that hashtag on Twitter, then all the details will be there as well. But if you're going to the parade, leaves from the Burlington Hotel at 1 p.m, takes you through to the park, which is at the Beach House grounds. That starts at 1 p.m, finishes at 10 p.m, and the dog show, Denton Gardens, 11 a.m.
Excellent. And also there are some familiar faces and voices from the Brighton scene will be performing on Saturday as well. Who you got?
So I'm hosting it. Then we've got Paul Diello, who is just absolutely adorable. Miss Disney, who I'm completely in love with. Absolutely obsessed with Miss Disney. Alan Jay, Davina Sparkle, Jason Lee, Eva Iglesias, Miss Jason, Jason Thorpe. Rounding off the whole thing, the headlines are ABBA Magic, who are on at 8:30, which I'm really looking forward to. That's as the sun's going down and ABBA's blasting out, that's going to be amazing. And there are also DJs, DJ Ryan, DJ Trick and DJ Missy B will all be performing on that stage as well.
Fantastic. I hope it all goes absolutely brilliantly. I hope that the sun shines on the just as it deserves to do in Worthing.
Deservedly so. And I hope to see you there, Kathy.
Absolutely. Apart from the fact that I'm working. I look forward to seeing it from sunburn and tails. I would be remiss if while you were captive in the Reverb Studios, if I didn't ask you about plans for other things. We're just sort of in that complete roller coaster now of everything pride-shaped, summer cabaret scene, all sorts of stuff going on. What's going on?
There is so much going on. So we've got Brighton Pride coming up, which is the big one. That's the big event that everyone's looking forward to. That's the first weekend in August, as always. I will be another long day for me. I'm going to be parading, so I'm going to be marching along with... I was lucky enough to be asked again by the Royal British Legion. Royal British Legion. I'll have trouble saying that for some reason. Then I'm on in the park, on the main, the cabaret Big Top in the park, and then hosting the street party outside the Queen's Arms from 6 till midnight. So I'm going to be in heels on that Saturday for 14 hours.
I really hope you've got some Dr. Skulls to hop into in between.
Yes, it's a pity I'm too famous to soak them in a bucket, really, but never mind. Oh, they'll be bandaged up for Sunday. Yeah, and then Sunday's looking very much the same. All sorts of things going on.
Talking about street party.
Yep, street party, legends, street party in Kemp Town, Queen's Arms, things going on at the Bedford Tavern. We're doing a piano bingo at the Bedford Tavern as well, which is on that day, which I'm doing, because that'll be the first Sunday of the month. So, yeah, busy, busy, busy. Great fun, but busy.
I fear for your liver and kidneys, but I admire your enthusiasm. But actually, also, we should talk about this, the new event that you're hosting at Bedford every first Sunday of the month.
Yes, so that is Piano Bingo without a piano. I've called it Jukebox Bingo. So the Bedford Tavern, for the last probably 5 years, every Sunday, give or take a few, has been piano bingo, so that our lovely pianist JB gets on the ivories and he will play a selection of songs, and then all the punters, as it were given a bingo ticket. Instead of numbers, you have songs and you tick off, and we play bingo, essentially. And it's always great fun and a little bit madcap and a bit bonkers, but it's always really good. And so the first Sunday of every month is now Spice. So I'm doing it. So I'm there. Instead of playing the piano, I will sing excerpts from songs. And we did the first one on Sunday, and it was fantastic. It was really good fun.
What have you done to JB?
I just tie him up and put him in a cupboard once a month. Yeah. Bless him. He's been doing it for 5 years, and he doesn't get much time off on a weekend, on a Sunday. So we've allowed him one day off a month.
One a month.
Yes. And
always giving.
Always give, giving. Give, give, give.
And finally, I should ask about how All Things Bear Weekend went as well, because you were the official host there. Is that, there's a lot of official hosting going on.
Yeah, so much going on. We had a great time, didn't we? I saw you there having a lovely time. The welcome party was fantastic at Bar Revenge. The, as we said, would be the highlight, I think, was definitely the picnic barbecue, which was so good. The weather held out. The weather was perfect, not too hot. But warm enough, nice and sunny, great, some fab acts on, and I was broken by the end of it. Absolutely broken. It was just, again, a really, really long weekend, but well worth it and great fun.
You see, and I'm going to break the cardinal rule now of saying "and finally" and then saying "and finally" again. but I should also ask you about all things Stage Door and everything radio shaped.
Yes, I'm still here. They haven't thrown me out of Radio Reverb yet. I was going through my show for this week. I think this is show 45. So coming up to a year of Stage Door.
Amazing. Is there going to be a birthday party?
There may be balloons. Yes, there could could well be balloons. This week's show going out Thursday at 4 is going to be, incidentally, Worthing Pride based. So we're going to be playing loads of Pride-related songs and chatting about in more detail about all the things that are going on for Worthing Pride. So if you are going to Worthing Pride, tune in Thursday at 4.
Fantastic. You are... I'm so just... immensely impressed by your energy, enthusiasm. The fact also this incredible human being cooks the roast at the Bedford on a Sunday before getting down and singing and entertaining you all. Just an all-round general good egg, and also Mindout's first community ambassador as well.
Yes, yes.
And astrophysicist in training.
Yes, astrophysicist in training as well. Yes, yes. I had a lovely meeting actually with Mindout a couple of weeks ago, and they've asked me to be their volunteer community ambassador ongoing. So that's fantastic. We've got Mindout for the Laughs coming up very, very soon. So go to Mindout's website if you want to get details of Mindout for the Laughs. That's happening at the Comedia.
Will you be on stage for that as well?
I am hosting
will
that.
Will you be hosting
well?
That?
Yes.
There's a pattern.
Yes, as I did last year. Last year was amazing. We sold out. Tickets will sell out again this year. We've got some amazing, amazing acts on this year as well. But all the details of that, as I say, just search for Mindout for the Laughs either on Facebook or go to Mindout's website, which is mindout.org, I think, or .co.org. UK or something, but you'll find it.
Search for Mindout, you'll find it.
Worst ambassador ever.
It's not as if you've not got a lot to remember.
Oh yeah,
the gorgeous, gorgeous Spice. Please go and have some green vegetables and put your feet up.
That's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
It's a busy summer ahead. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us. You can keep up with everything Spice Shaped largely on Facebook. Is that the best way to get on with you?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram as Spice Drag.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Thank you.
Go and have a rest. I feel I thought I was busy, and then you chat to people and it's like, oh no, I've got nothing to complain about at all. Thank you so much. You're listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and that thing of beauty is the new single from John Hopkins. It's Everything Connected. And you're indeed listening to Out in Brighton. My name's Kathy Caton, and we're bringing you queer radio for Brighton and beyond. You can catch us on DAB Plus around town. You can stream us via radioreverb.com and also find us on the TuneIn radio app. And this programme and all of its predecessors are also podcasts. You can find us on iTunes. You can subscribe if you're thus inclined. Or if you'd rather dip your toe, go to Podomatic and find us there where it's the number one LGBTQ podcast. Right, enough of this self-aggrandising rubbish. Let's gallop imminently to nattering to my next guest, who is the events producer and stage manager, Jo Jepson-Davis. And she's had the glory of working with everyone from Cate Blanchett, about which we shall come to later on, but I am swooning as I say the very words, and to Guns N' Roses, swooning slightly less so. But she's also, and most importantly, that's the context of us talking today, the proud owner of the new website, exhetera.com, and has launched her blog into the world. Jo, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
The first and very obvious question for me to ask is why the blog? What's been your need to publish it? What's the feeling behind it?
Well, initially, I think it was just for me. And I was just going to write it down, write my story, my journey, whatever you want to call it down. But in the end, I thought, do you know what? There might be somebody out there who's, is a similar situation to me that might be interested. But then the more I thought about it, I also thought it might be interesting to have straight people read it. In the kind of the sense of, less fear, more understanding, in that kind of guise, I thought actually it's got sort of dual roles in that way. So it's kind of almost grown from just a blog now to a website where I want to add book reviews, video content, all sorts of bits and bobs. Yes, it was me sitting telling my story, which I suppose is your story. You always think it's going to be the most interesting thing ever. But I wanted to focus much more on not necessarily my coming out tale, which I think, everybody does and everybody tries to say theirs is more interesting than somebody else's, but focus much more on when did I suddenly realise, oh, I think I might prefer girls to guys, particularly because it happened to me when in my mid-30s. And when I came out to friends, that was their first question. Why didn't you know before? Tell us about it. So I thought, well, I'd kind of tell it and shared it with friends and family, but now I kind of want to sort of roll it out. And I've got brilliant positive feedback already, which is fantastic.
And how have you found the process of doing it, that thing of sitting down and writing and telling your story in a way that might potentially be accessed by millions of people? It's not just necessarily having a conversation with a mate in a pub.
Well, I think it was starting small, just telling my story, me and the laptop. And in fact, big shout out to Writers HQ, who I went to twice. It's called a writer's retreat, which makes it sound like I've travelled a long way. I travelled to Hove just for the day, and they sort of do these timed sort of little stints where you do 20 minutes to start with and then you increase it up to 40. You're sitting around with like-minded writers that could be somebody to your left might be writing a novel, to the right they're writing a play, whatever. You're not sharing content. You're basically just all knuckling down and getting on with it. So I had two really good days with them that really sort of pushed me forward and really got what I'm calling my backstory together. And then I just sort of pre-edited that and sort of put it on the blog. And the website's actually existed for quite a long time. So it was quite a big deal for me to then share the URL with people and to say, go and have a look at this. So it's been live for a long time, but it's just the sharing was, share it with friends and family on Facebook to start with. But I just think there's interest there. Even the comments I had from my friends and family made me even more propelled to want to share it with more people, to see that people can just understand the story and that sort of thing from a straight perspective, but also there could be somebody there that's 31, 32 like I was, thinking, oh, I've got these feelings, and just sort of take some insight and comfort in my journey.
And have you yet been deluged with contact from women saying, oh my God, you're talking to me, this is my story? You then getting involved in kind of a counselling capacity with strangers. Do you worry that might be a thing that might happen? Would you do if you were put in that situation?
Hasn't happened yet. I don't know, to be honest. I think I'd like to think that people would say would relate and want to express that on the blog and that sort of thing. I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not quite ready to become a representative, or you know, to offer kind of that kind of advice as a counselling point of view. But that would be amazing if somebody with a similar point of view said this was great, really, in, you know, really interested. So I've been much more interested in a lot of my gay female friends just to get their feedback. But then I've also had really interesting feedback from family members, or like somebody that went to school with my mum, and she said, I had acceptance and I read your blog and I now have understanding. And that was just like, that quote was like gold. That was just, you know, I didn't expect to have that sort of reaction. And people that I haven't seen or spoken to in years, you know how it's on Facebook, coming up and saying, wow, this is, you know, just really being very expressive about how interesting they thought it was, and to learn that about my life and not have known that part. So yeah.
And one of the points you made really well on your blog, which I love the way that you phrase it, is about actually how we never stop coming out. And I think, you know, think that we do it once and there must be, you know, there's a sign across the sky that means that everyone must know, but actually we never stop doing it. Yeah. And then also how we judge when to or when not to, and how we feel about those things. Could this be a, do you think this is part of a portal into having to come out less? Or do you think this is still about
I think we'll always have to. I like to call it tales of the unexpected, especially somebody like me. You know, like I'm sitting here today in a summer dress, you know, I dress in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes the more I've done it, actually, it's got a bit more fun sometimes to actually reveal, you know, somebody says something about, are you waiting for your husband? I'm actually waiting for my wife. Oh, you know, it can be quite fun. But sometimes, as we all know, we get in the back of a taxi. We don't want to have to correct somebody. We all have that moment. We've got that crossroads where you can decide to actually say, oh, actually, I'm not waiting for my boyfriend, I'm married to a woman, or you can leave it. And I think sometimes you don't want to tell somebody in a shop or a taxi. You know, a straight person wouldn't get in a taxi and start, you know, saying, well, actually, I'm a straight person and this, that and the other. So I don't know. I think we'll all always have to just keep coming out to people. But I think people just think once we've had our coming out, that's it. Like you say, the sign above our head and everybody knows and it's fine. But
apparently not.
It isn't that way.
It turns out. And Jo, I'd be completely remiss if I didn't ask you about your day job, because you have quite an exciting one, whether it's launching Paddington or working with Guns N' Roses or Kate Blanchett. Tell us about your career. And what do Guns N' Roses think about your blog?
I don't know. It's one of those things where when I start to think back of all the different events I've been involved in, you know, you find yourself in the most random situations with quite often extraordinarily famous people. But I think what helps kind of keep your eye in the game, as it were, is because you're at work and you've got a job to do, you're not some weird fan lurking around thinking. I think afterwards you think, oh bloody hell, that was so and so. But at the time, you're doing your job. You're so in the moment with your job that it's only afterwards. I think, you know, you all sit down in the pub afterwards and also, flipping heck, you know, that was that funny thing that happened with so and so, or you turn around and bump into hand something to Gillian Anderson, or you know, whatever it is, you know. And yeah, I mean, I always think, who is that person that would actually make me nervous? You know, I always have that conversation with myself.
Which was going to be my next question. Who is that person?
I thought it might have been Kate Blanchett, because she's probably my favourite actress. It possibly could be Meryl Streep. And not to take anything away from Kate Blanchett, but she is both striking and stunning, but in equal measure, she's this lovely down-to-earth Aussie mum. And you know what it's like, as soon as you see somebody and they walk in the door, you know instantly how approachable they're going to be. And she was the most down-to-earth, normal person. I have this funny thing where I offer very famous people Percy Pigs, offered her a pig, you know, and we got an outlook on House Life. She's lovely. And so but afterwards, you kind of go home and think, oh, that was a funny day. But yeah, very, very lucky, very random, all sorts. Yeah.
And I mean, I wouldn't ask you to name names, although I would encourage you to. Are there any of the roster of incredible people that you've met where you've gone, oh, actually, you're a real idiot? Or are most people okay when they're off stage?
Most people are. I'm professional enough not to name names. There are a couple of people that immediately spring to mind. But then there's equally absolutely lovely people. Rob Ryden, I met him when with five minutes, we're having this wonderful conversation, to the fact that people said, how long have you known Rob? I said, well, I've just met Rob. You know, so, and all sorts of random people that you just bump into. So, yeah, unfortunately, there are a few people out there, you know, I'm sure in every industry that
idiots are.
Yeah, and they always say, you know, careful, you know, careful. You don't want to meet your heroes in case they disappoint you. But in the, you know, without wishing to harp on about Cate Blanchett, she was not disappointing at all and was just lovely
and gracious of Percy Pig. So tell us more about the blog. First of all, where people actually can find the blog and find the website and get reading.
Yeah, so everything's on the website, which is exhetera.com. So that's exhetera.com. So in other words, ex-het life. So everything's there. So currently it's just the series of blogs, as I say, mainly about my kind of story. And then I'm sort of adding to it. So I added something last weekend about London Pride and about sort of how we are sort of in the world with, you know, how gays are getting on, you know, as it were. And I just want to try and add to that quite regularly with my comments and thoughts and that sort of thing and really build a really nice volume of stuff on there. I'm going to add some book reviews because there's some great books out there. I want to also add some video content, which I think I'm most excited about, because again, I want to focus a little less on the coming out story, which I think often gets focused on the most, and actually talk to somebody about and say, when was that moment, or when did you start to have those thoughts? Because I think a lot of that is internalized. I think you go through quite a lot of digesting stuff by yourself before you actually even say to a mate, do you know what, I've had this thought, you know. And I to me that's really interesting, and I'd like to think that's equally interesting to the gay and straight communities in equal measure. So that's kind of my next thing I want to do. I want to sort of grab people and just get some really nice video footage for them, sort of bringing that those sorts of stories to life, really.
Excellent. And again, anything we can do to increase, connection, storytelling, reducing the fear that actually we can put ourselves around, and self-stigmatising behaviour that we can do around all sorts of things. Top stuff. Top stuff. And you're also very involved in the comedy scene. Might there be more gigs that you might be putting on? Could there be a whole melding together of this? Or am I...
You never know. A while ago, I was really keen to sort of put panel discussion, isn't the right phrase, but basically a panel of fab gay women to sort of just have a chat, you know, about sort of what it's like for them to sort of, you know, be gay, what it's like at the moment, you know, and potentially that could be something. We could have ex-hetero live. I'm very ambitious with what I'd like to do with it, and certainly with the video, I think I'd love to find a lovely sponsor who could give me a little bit of cash so they could be beautifully put together and have really nice stylized content. And then I'd ask everybody and anybody, from, you know, people down the pub to famous people, to try and get their stories as well, to just get this really nice archive of people talking about it, what it's like. And so people have just got much more understanding, the more of those stories that they can read and understand what it's like from a day-to-day life. And I was also really, really inspired by Gay Station, you know, the show that Ellen Page does, and I almost think I'd quite like to do a little spin-off of that, where you're kind of, but you're micro diving down, whatever the phrase is, down into a street where people are living. So you're not just generalising with a city, but you're sort of saying, what's it like for you in your street? What do you feel comfortable walking down the street? Do you feel comfortable kissing your boyfriend, girlfriend? You know, that sort, just to paint that real picture of what's happening.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. So remind us again about where we can find the website and where people can get in touch if they want to contribute, want to find out more.
So it's all on exhetera.com. That's exhetera.com.
The divine Jo Jepson Davis, Percy Pig peddler and blogger extraordinaire, bringing etc. to the airwaves, to the interweb. I need to update my modern terminology. But Jo, thank you so much for coming to talk to us on Out in Brighton.
Great to be here. Thanks, Cathy.
You're listening to Out in Brighton. This is Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. That's Goldfrapp, and you're listening to Out in Brighton with Cathy Caton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're on Digital Radio Plus, I think it's called these days, around the city, and available worldwide at radioreverb.com. Sharp intake of breath and brace, because I'm not entirely sure it's how this is, how my next segment is going to be controlled. Badly, I would imagine, mm-hmm. because with me in the studio I have, and if you're listening in glorious stereo, listen carefully, because they're going to introduce themselves so you know whose voice it is.
Hello. Hello, I'm Queen Josephine.
I'm Kate Wildblood.
I'm Gary Pargeter.
And that sounded fantastic in sweeping stereo. We could just do that for the next 15 minutes or so. Thank you all so much for being lured in. I've got a collection of things I want to ask you about. We've got that, you know, that pride thing coming up at some stage. We might have a bit of a mention about that at some stage. But actually, mainly, I wanted to get you together to talk about Arthur Law and why it is that we should be taking a few moments out of our days to have a think about him and remembering him, and also remembering that this is a radio broadcast, and there might be things that are suitable for discussion rather than others. Tell us about when did you two first meet him? What was the context of you meeting him?
I met him when I moved down here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, in 91.
It was 91.
I was a sort of angry, fired-up lesbian, wanted to sort the world out. And Arthur kind of grabbed that energy and said, make a banner. And I met him through that and ended up on Pink Parasol, which was the first sort of Pride organising committee, and Lesbian Strength, which eventually led into Shameless Hussies and Clubland. So, yeah, I met him like that. But as a haberdasher's daughter, I always appreciated his work.
I didn't know you were a haberdasher's daughter.
I am, yes.
Fun fact of the day.
It's amazing trivia on Radio Reverb.
Excellent. And Joe, how about you? When did you first cross paths with him?
To be honest, I'm much sort of on a periphery of this. I knew him because of his amazing work and his fired up amazingness. But really, I was just sort of a vague mate.
You spoke to him over the Brighton Pride.
But I did speak.
25.
I did, and he was an absolute mine of information. It was like delving into several hugely multifaceted archives, and apparently he did have lots of paperwork around the place.
He kept everything.
He kept absolutely everything, boxes and boxes and boxes and archives of the stuff. So I didn't actually go around to his house, which I was going to do because I wouldn't have fitted in. But an amazing guy.
And very, very well known as well to anyone who's involved in Count Me In 2 and the work with Kath Brown at the University of Brighton. That's Gary, just letting you know, he's still in the studio. Let's come to Gary. Gary, tell us about you and your path crossing with Arthur.
Do you know, I can't actually remember how I first met Arthur, but I first met him, I can remember when, it was back in 1993, and my partner had just died with AIDS-related dementia, and Arthur was just, as I say, I can't remember how, but he was somebody who just kind of showed me an awful lot of kindness and support at the time. And at a time when HIV services weren't as developed as they were in the years to come. And he introduced me to other people who'd recently been bereaved, and he just connected me with lots of other very kind and supportive people. And we met regularly for coffee, and we just kind of formed an acquaintance and a friendship then, really.
And I think one of the key things about, well, actually use that stuff about connection, and rather than particularly lesbians and gay men being very, very separate, but actually coming together about common causes, whether around HIV and AIDS, Section 28, coming back to the banner making.
Yeah, the banner making. He was definitely there with Section 28, and also I remember standing outside various Conservative Party conferences. I don't know if there's a Conservative Party left nowadays, but
yes, I want the conference.
They had a cabinet then, and I used to do sort of lots of campaigning with him on that sort of thing, and I was thinking about him a lot in the last few days, and it's you start on these things particularly when you're young and you're fired up and you get involved in all this, but you kind of burn out. It's a natural thing. I've spoken to Danny Ahrens, another campaigner. It's quite difficult to kind of keep the momentum going. Arthur kept it going, and a couple of years ago when the Pulse Memorial Walk was happening down at the Steen, I bumped into him again. I hadn't seen him for years, and there he was, as furious as ever about what was going on with this country particularly. He was looking at LGBT asylums and the way the Home Office were treating asylum seekers, And I was like, this man is still doing it. He's still fired up. And learning that he was a care worker that did night shifts, so he could do this campaigning in the daytime, and it sort of blew me away. And, you know, he could be a little bit of a difficult so-and-so at times. But that, I think that difficultness fired him and got things done. And this city wouldn't be the same without him.
Yeah. I think that's genuinely true, actually, that the city has been shaped by the actions of a single person, which is kind of amazing, actually.
Absolutely. And also hearing about all the kind of history around LGBT activism that Arthur was so integral to, and, you know, and active at a time when other people weren't that active and you know, didn't have that bravery or, you know, and that resilience to undertake that kind of role. You know, coming from my own closer kind of community and work being HIV, he was still very active in that as well. So the amount of stuff that Arthur was taking on and worthy causes that affect us all at any one given time was just amazing to think that he was able to do that.
He brought the AIDS memorial quilt part of it to Brighton, which if you talk to people even now, they'll talk about that day or that few days it was in the city as being really monumentally changing them, and people who weren't initially thought they were affected with HIV in any way, it didn't touch them, suddenly realised actually this is our community. Mm. It's not just gay men of a particular age or blah, blah, blah. It's our community. We're all in this together. And it was really moving. And, you know, I didn't know he was responsible for helping bring that here, which, you know, yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's interesting we're talking to in the context of we've just had London Pride, which is not been without its fair share of hoo-ha this year round. And then, you know, big questions about actually what does Pride stand for if it doesn't stand for all and all of the letters under the LGBTQ+ acronym. But also, if we, you know, that we're coming up on the biggest weekend in the LGBT calendar, that, you know, Brighton Pride-shaped thing. I don't want to put you on the spot with what Arthur thought about what Pride had become, but how will you be remembering him this year, do you think?
Just a comment, because I've been thinking about this an awful lot. The one thing that I will always remember Arthur Thor for, which was so applicable to that question around Pride, is that, you know, he always was really finely attuned to equality and fairness and wanting to seek that for people. And, you know, in all of the encounters I had with him, that was always the absolute core of all the thread of every conversation and every action, really, that would happen. So, I mean, I think Arthur would be probably outraged at some of the more recent events.
I'm sure he would.
And entirely vocal about challenging those, I'm sure.
I mean, this is going to be a bit fluffy, but I think I'll remember him by playing as gay amount of disco as possible, because the roots of disco, trans people, people of colour, Latinos, black gay men, you know, that was brought our community together. And I think,
yeah,
I don't even know if you like disco, but
we'll hope that you
I think
do.
We will have a I feel love moment for him.
Definitely I'll join in with you now.
Excellent. And what are your Pride plans? Presumably super busy all over the place.
Yes.
You two DJing?
Well, yes, I think that there's been some kind of discussion amongst the people that run Pride. Like, are they still doing it? Let's see if we can totally wipe them out over the weekend, because we actually have got lots and lots of gigs, which I could list for you if you'd like.
Wasn't the idea that if we don't play, people will think we've retired?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's make sure they're playing so much that they're completely omnipresent. But yeah, I can give you a rundown.
She's after a community award from GC
for being able to stay awake for that long. Because I'm a poor old dear now, you know.
Give us your selected highlights.
We're playing the Tempest a lot, doing the Syndicate Party on the Friday, and well, family on the Saturday. We're in the Diva Girls World Dance Tent,
which is hilarious, girls. Since I was a girl.
We're playing at Patterns. We're doing their Pride Terrace Party, and we're also doing the Sunday Pride Reunion.
Yes, hurrah!
That'll be really exciting.
And
we're playing at the Arch and the Fortune of War. This is all on the Saturday. I'm feeling tired reading the list.
Yes, and then we're going to keep going. We're not just stopping at Pride. On the 18th of August, we're playing with Honey Dijon, who's one of the biggest the only
Well, she's one of the top DJs in the world at the moment anyway, and she's absolutely brilliant, but she also happens to be black, she happens to be trans, and it's magnificent. So we're really pleased that we're playing on the same bill as her. That's amazing.
So yeah, amazing. But you've got to stay alive that long.
Yes, well, that's on the 18th. We'll have a couple of weeks to recover. I'm hoping, anyway.
Com plan.
Energy drinks are available.
Energy drinks.
So basically everywhere over Pride.
Yeah, and encouraging people to put money in the pot to pay for things like
that. Every area, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, and I would also encourage people to read your piece, Kate, in the Pride brochure.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure
what
to call it.
Guide.
The meaning and importance of Pride that absolutely is still there.
Absolutely still there, and I think, you know, it's really important to support Pride because it just keeps putting money into various LGBT charities and beyond. Now it's working in local communities that aren't LGBT, so everybody's getting a slice of the pink pie, rightly so, to just kind of keep these things going, organisations going that still are struggling otherwise for funding. So, you know, we may go, oh, Britney, but actually those tickets are making a difference to lives.
They really are.
Absolutely. And I think that very thing about securing those quids and being able to know exactly that whatever happens, come rain or shine, that money is going to be available to community organisations.
And I'd just like to point out, I don't go, oh, Britney.
Yeah, me neither.
Honest, Paul. I love Britney, Paul. Don't we? Don't see. We love her.
We love everybody.
And well, also, I forgot, we're also playing with Niles Rogers.
Niles Rogers. Who's he? Niles Rogers.
The Love Beard One Fest, which is going to be fundraising for the Social Impact Fund on Sunday.
Yes. Fancy pants. Well, I'm not. I'll be playing it Sunday early afternoon that day. We're being split apart. I know.
Torn asunder.
I know. Just for a couple of hours.
Well, you can't get a bus pass on.
Get off.
Gary, are you on stage with Niall Rogers at any stage?
He's not go-go dancing for the weekend.
No, I wish I was go-go dancing. No, I don't wish
stop,
I was go-go dancing.
No, actually,
Pride, I mean, first of all, to echo, you know, being part of a community group that receives funds through the Rainbow Fund, through Pride, it's so essential to us and so many others. But our big Pride activity that weekend is we have a community cafe at Preston Park on the Saturday, which is actually our most major fundraiser. And if you think that, you know, we have about 20 volunteers give up their Pride Day to be part of that, to fundraise for us, that's just fantastic in itself. So we're serving affordable food and drink in the community village. Anybody that wants to come along, service will be in a snap. And that's a big fundraiser for us on the day. So yeah, come and see us if you're at Preston Park.
Excellent. And you're going to be down at Trans Pride as well?
And Trans Pride in a couple of weeks' time, yeah. We have a little catering stall down there. And thanks to the organisers of that. They ask us to do that every year, and that's a fantastic event for us, not just because it's a fundraiser, it's actually just really good to be doing something with another community as well, and to be included within that. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. And yeah. I think coming all the way back to getting the one of the things I love about Trans Pride is that it's proper grassroots, hand-stitched banners, and people connecting, getting together in a way that maybe they don't do outside of that weekend. Yeah. So blooming, get involved, get campaigning. And finally, in terms of how we can keep up, you two are obviously doing absolutely blooming everything. What's the easiest way to find out what you're doing? One careful step at a time.
Right, one careful step at a time. Actually, you can catch up with everything Wild Blood and Queenie if you go to perfectdistractions.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just look for Kate Wild Blood and Queen Josephine. Or one word.
Or search two old ladies
who should know better. Yes.
Excellent. Get it on a t-shirt quick. Yeah. And Gary, everything Lunch Positive shaped. Tell us how people can find you.
Just look for us, search for lunchpositive.org. We've got social media and website. And could also just do a quick plug for a new anti-HIV stigma campaign that launches next week through the Martin Fisher Foundation. Make HIV Stigma History. Launches on the 19th, so keep an eye out for that as well.
Fantastic. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I'll make sure that we actually do something about it.
Do it.
Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us on Out in Brighton. And thank you just for kind of taking a moment to think about Arthur Law and also what we can all do if we stand up and bang our drums and fight to make a difference. Dynamit!
Thank you very much for inviting me.
On which campaigning note, thank you all so much. If we don't see you before Pride, have an amazing, amazing time. See you down the front. Possibly.
Yeah. Halfway.
Halfway down the front, maybe on a stool of some kind. Thank you so much for coming in. My name is Cathy Caton, and you've been listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Many thanks indeed to my guest Spice, aka Aaron Lawrence, to Joe Jepson Davis, to Gary Pargeter, Kate Wildblood, and Queen Josephine. And thank you, as ever, to you for listening. Playing us out today would have to be this.